Song before this morning's lesson will be number 650. Send a light. If you would, please stand.
There's a call come ring for the rest.
Good to have each of you here this morning. As was announced Wednesday night, Steve Walling will be preaching tonight, and we anticipate that he will bring us another fine lesson. So we want you to be planning on that, and that's one reason that there is no outline on the back, for we never know what Stephen is going to bring us. So we leave that up to him. This morning I brought some visual aids with me. I've used this example before, but I forgot the visual aids. And the last thing this morning, my wife says, "Do you have the carrot?" And I said, "No." And I had to go back and get the visual aids. But I did remember them this morning so that I can relate to you some of the things that we're going to talk about. For sometimes we find that there is a carrot. This carrot is very stiff and rigid. We have the egg, which is very fragile, but yet very good. And then we have some 100% Arabian coffee grounds. And those of you who like coffee, you know that Arabian is one of the best. But yet the carrot is very rigid and is easily broken. But yet, if you put that carrot into boiling water, what happens to the carrot? It loses all of its integrity. It becomes soft and is no longer very rigid and stiff. But yet the egg is the same. It's very delicate as it is. I brought two just in case because they are easily broken. But yet, if you boil the egg, it becomes hard-boiled. It's no longer fragile. In fact, you have to crack it to get the egg out and then peel the shell. But the coffee grounds are completely different. You add them to the boiling water and they change the water rather than the water changing them, as with the carrot, with the egg. And the coffee gives off to coffee drinkers a very desirable aroma, and it tastes good. But yet, we find that we are very much like the carrot and the egg and the coffee. Some of us, with our faith, we're very strong, rigid, until temptation comes, like the boiling water, hardship, difficulties. We become very soft and mushy. Our faith fails. It's like the egg that is very fragile, but yet when it's boiled, it becomes hard, sometimes like our heart. When we're faced with difficulties, we harden our heart. We think of self, me first. Everybody has their problems, and I have mine. But then there is the coffee. The coffee changes the water. It has a good influence, a good aroma. It brings us to think that it is good to taste. But we find that there are some, when we go to teach, that are eager to learn the truth. They're very receptive. We like to find them. As the psalmist in Psalms 1 and verse 2, some delight in the law of the Lord. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do we delight in the law of the Lord? Is it a joy for us to study God's word and to understand that we might live closer to God? In John 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, one can know the truth. Now the world says there is no absolute. There is no truth that we must comply to. But yet Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the world cannot be free from sin without the truth. And the truth is Christ. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says it all. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, the only way. This makes Jesus special, for he is our Savior, he is our Lord, he is the one whose name we are called, and in his name we obtain salvation. Now John the Baptist can't save us. We find that Peter could not save us, and certainly Muhammad can't save us, and we cannot save ourselves. We must be obedient unto Jesus Christ. Now there are some like Jairus. After they have received the gospel, then they want to tell others. They want Jesus to help others. We find that here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, Jairus had a daughter that was dying. He came to Jesus, for he believed that Jesus could heal her. So he pleaded with Jesus, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they all awaited for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now Jairus had enough faith that he came for Jesus. Do we have that faith that we want to tell others about Jesus Christ because we know that they're dying in sin? That Christ is their only hope. In 3 John verse 1 and 2, John cared for the well-being of Gaius, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Do we care enough about our friends and our loved ones that are lost in sin that we might teach them Christ? We find that we are the sowers. We are to go forth to sow the seed. Yes, it will fall on different ground, different hearts. Some will be quickly receptive. Some will be slow, and some will not receive it at all. But yet that does not change our responsibility as the sower. And as we go forth to sow, we must have faith that if we tell them about Jesus Christ, then the truth can change their heart. Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Don't worry, pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." But do we love those who are lost enough to pray about them? To pray for them? Now we can't pray that their sins be forgiven. For without their obedience, prayer cannot change their condition. But we can pray that that opportunity that we have will touch their heart, that they might be receptive to the gospel. Never give up on prayer. Vicki's stepfather went Friday for his follow-up PET scan. Both doctors were amazed at the progress that he had made. His cancer is shrunken to less than half of what it was. And the doctors say, from all indication, it continues to shrink. They're saying that he doesn't have to come back for 3 months. But yet they want to see him every 3 months for the next year. Because one said, "We want to continue to observe what is happening." They said, "We do not hesitate to tell you that we are amazed." Vicki said, "I almost told him, well, yes, but we've been praying. We've had a lot of prayer being offered. Now it's up to him to change his lifestyle," which he has somewhat drastically in his smoking habits and also in his drinking. But he hasn't stopped drinking, but because the doctor said you can have one or two here and there. So he thought he meant every day. So hopefully he will not change that to every once in a while during the day. But yet, here is a man who they were very concerned about. For he had three different cancers, three different parts of his body. And removing two and eradicating the third, these men are specialists at Moffitt. And they were amazed. I don't know what their religious background is. They don't talk much about prayer. But yet, oftentimes doctors have to admit that prayer has a lot to do with the mental person's attitude. If we have the right attitude, many times it helps us to overcome certain things. We find that sin is only overcome by obedience to God. For John in exile on the Isle of Patmos wrote these words in Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9. John tells of the river of the tree of life. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophet, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Yes, sometimes man can do amazing things, but yet we're not to worship them. God is to be worshiped. We are to tell those who we come in contact with that are amazed over the possibilities that come across our life, God is in control. Because we obey God, we can look forward to eternal life. We can overcome the difficulties. As we know, our dear sister Amber and the suffering that she is enduring, because she knows there is a better place. She's not looking to be cured. She's looking to go home to be with God. As Christians, we have that before us. We can tell others that our hope and our trust is in the Lord. Many times they say, well, you know, what is it that makes your life so much different? It's not our husband or our wife, although they may contribute to that, but it must be the Lord that makes the difference. In Revelation 22 and verse 16, Jesus says he's coming. We need to be ready. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and shining star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. We are to humble and submit ourselves in obedience to the Lord. And then we can be ready. We can assure ourselves through the word that Jesus is coming. He's coming for the faithful that they might go to be with him. As we sow that seed, there are going to be those who respond and are faithful and obedient to the Lord. And we give all the glory to God. For it is his word, Jesus Christ, that changes the lives of men and women in this world. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, We must do more than just talk about it. We must live it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough to be good in this world. We must be obedient unto Jesus Christ. We must live according to his will and not our own. For it is he that doeth the will of God which is in heaven. Are we doing that will today? Are we obedient unto God when he says to go forth and to sow the seed, the gospel, that others might hear? Yes, we might do that publicly. We might do that through helping others as missionaries, those upon television and radio, but yet we must be a part of sowing that seed. We must certainly be the example that others might see Christ in our life. We will say, Matthew 7 and verse 22, that many will say, Lord, Lord, but yet if we have not done His will, then we will hear those horrible words, Depart from me, for I never knew you. If we do not teach, that will be our destiny. We do not teach through our example and through our words and through our life with that which we're blessed with, then God will not find us acceptable. Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus says, A wise man hears and obeys. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man was a doer of God's will. The foolish man was not. Which are you today? Are you wise or foolish? Are you like the carrot that is tough and strong and rigid until we face temptation, discouragement, hardship, and our faith becomes weak? Mushy. Are we like the egg that is fragile but yet it's easygoing until the adversary, the devil, comes and boils our heart and hardens that we are no longer receptive? We think of self. We think of what we can obtain. And we forget the lost. We forget the needs. Or are we like the coffee grounds? That when boiled in water, it changes the water for good. Do we change those around us for good? When we come into a conversation, does the conversation change for good? When we talk to people about Jesus, are we positive and uplifting? Or do we tell them about those who betrayed Jesus? Do we get on to the fact that not everyone is going to be saved? Not everyone is going to respond? How are we going to change the world with a negative attitude? Thinking of that which is poor and not good in the sight of God. But are you a Christian today? Do you have that desire? First, you must want to obey Jesus Christ. Then you can make the proper and right decisions to bring that forth. But as Christians today, are you hurting, confused? You've hardened your heart because of suffering. You've actually turned away from Jesus because you've had difficulty, hardship. You blame the Lord. We know that He brings rain upon the just and the unjust. We know that suffering comes to both good and evil. As death comes sudden and oftentimes to those who are young, not because God calls them home, because He wants them to be with Him, but because of tragedy, because of sickness, because of accidents, because of neglect. But yet, God gives us opportunities. Some He gives a long life. We have many opportunities. Some not as long, and they have fewer opportunities. But God wants us all to obey Him. And if you're a Christian and you've fallen away, why not come back to Christ? Why not be obedient to Him once again? Be like the coffee that changes the water rather than is changed by the water. Do you need to come to Jesus this morning? The invitation is yours. Will you come as we stand and sing?
Are you sowing the seed of the King?